And turn with me your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18, if you will. 1 Kings chapter 18, I want to read to you verse 36 to 39. Here's what it says. And I'll get into the story in a moment, but I'm just going to read these four verses because they're kind of key to what I want to bring out today. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Amen. Most homes nowadays have some sort of an internet package from a provider that offers us the best speed for the lowest price that we can find. In fact, the majority of us who have internet service want the best speed for the lowest price. And we have these large internet companies telling us that you will get the highest internet speed, multiple email addresses, and so many gigabytes of bandwidth per month, etc. And some people perhaps are saying, well, what in the world is bandwidth? Anyway, we'll get into that a little later. Up until just recently, depending on your internet package, there were limitations to how much we could download or upload information each month. If we went over the amount of downloads or usage, or technically it's called bandwidth, then your internet provider would send you a big fat bill that you would have to pay for overusage. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I remember just a while ago that we received a bill for about $50 more than our regular bill for using the internet too much. Well, that didn't sit too well with me. So we exceeded our monthly usage, apparently, and now we had to pay. The problem was that my internet package had gotten changed without me knowing it, and I was expected to know that and expected to pay the bill, $50. There was no warning email. There was no phone call. There was no notice on my bill. My contract apparently had expired, they told me once I called, had been renewed, changed, and now I wasn't meeting the expectations properly. To which the company, I'm sure, didn't mind because I was paying for it. Well, after several times of being put on hold, how many know what I'm talking about there? Yeah. Several times of being put on hold, several times of being transferred to different people and speaking to supervisors, I finally got it all resolved, and I was now paying a lower price than I had started with and had a better internet package with now unlimited bandwidth. That simply means that I can download and stream as much as I want for those of you who are not tech savvy. The whole experience, though, left me extremely wound up, and I honestly felt like I was going to have some kind of an anxiety attack over my internet service provider. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh, I pulled out the little hair I had left. I was just frustrated. So my conclusion to this episode with my internet provider was simply, why are they making it so difficult for me to connect? What's the big deal? Why are they continually sneaking around to get me to pay more money? I mean, their commercials certainly don't imply anything about paying more if you use more. Their commercials state that you get more for what you pay for if you switch to us. I don't get that. Now, not that we would ever fully compare, ever, our relationship to God with an internet provider. But there are some principles to relate to as we daily connect wirelessly to access information. In this day that we live, it's very important to stay connected, right? The reality is for everyone here in this room today, there are times in our walk with the Lord that it's going to be tough to stay connected. It's going to be tough some days to stay connected. I don't know about you, but I find it tough some days to stay connected to God in my walk with Him. times when others can interfere, times when something is done without our knowledge, times when one thing is said, something else is done, and awkward situations that can push us away from staying connected to God. And Elijah, if you're to read his whole story about from the time he was born to the time he died, he certainly can relate to all of that. Elijah certainly had his challenges in his day with people staying connected to the Lord. Our text in 1 Kings chapter 18 is preluded. If you read the chapters before, there's some incredible events that take place in the life of Elijah. We know from 1 Kings chapter 16 that Ahab has become king of Israel. And he's married to, anybody know who he's married to? He's married to Jezebel. Let me just say, the wicked Jezebel. And one of the first things that Ahab does as he becomes the new king of Israel is he begins to worship the gods of Baal and the gods of Asherah. In fact, Ahab builds this monstrous Asherah pole so he and Jezebel and all of Israel can now worship these gods. Ahab disconnects himself from the true God and begins to worship these false gods. Not just him, but he declares the entire nation to worship them. This move by Ahab not only enraged some of the people of Israel, especially the prophets, but it enraged God. 1 Kings 16:33 says, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than did all the kings of Israel before him. Now that's a reputation, isn't it? So Ahab and Jezebel are destroying this sacred covenant relationship between God and Israel, and they did this for 22 years in total. That was his reign. 22 years he destroyed this covenant relationship between God and Israel. Elijah the prophet comes along, and he speaks this word to King Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, and here's what it says. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead says to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." In fact, it would actually be 3.5 years in total that there was no rain upon the earth. And so because the people had disconnected from God, had turned their hearts away from him, and are now worshiping Baal gods and the Asherah gods, God places upon them this punishment of drought. And because of Ahab's decision to turn a nation from God, and because a nation had made a decision to worship other gods, many of them in those 3.5 years died. Luke 4:24 says this, "But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and great famine came over the land." Let me just pause here and say this today. Regardless of your situation, regardless of what stage of life you are in, regardless of what difficulty you are facing, do not turn away from God. Are you hearing me today? Do not turn away from God. Stay connected to him. Now we come to 1 Kings 18, where there's been drought on the land for 3.5 years. Because of the drought, there's famine. Because there's a famine, there's death. And we know that Elijah was a great man of God, and he lived his life closely connected to God. We see him throughout his lifetime doing incredible acts and being used in miracle after miracle. He had this open-hearted, two-way relationship with God, as many of us here today do. Elijah was a man that knew how to pray, how to talk to God. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes the wireless connection that I have or we have with God gets a little overloaded with so many things we allow into our lives. Some days it's just tough to pray. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody here ever find it hard to pray? Besides me? Come on. Let me see your hands. Don't leave me hanging. Yep. So let's go to our first question. We have responses? So here's the first question I ask you. Why is it so difficult to pray some days? Let's look at some. So here's the first one. No excuse, but getting too busy with other things. How many can relate to that? Okay, next one. Can't find the right words to say sometimes. Wow, that's... How many can relate to that one? Sometimes you're going through a tough time and a tough season. You just don't know how to pray. Okay? Next one. Misplaced priorities. I don't know about you, but it's so easy to fill our schedules and our calendars and our days with things that really, for the most part, just take up time. It takes intentionality and on-purpose living to spend time with the Lord. I don't know about you, but there's times when I get busy and occupied and doing this and doing that, and I may go a day or two even without having an intentional on-purpose prayer time, and I feel gross. You know what I'm talking about? But it's those moments when you get back to the Lord and you just spend 10 minutes with Him. Man, it just takes the weight of the world off your shoulders. You know what I'm talking about. So the second question I want you to ask, or I want you to answer today, I want you just to respond today if you can. Why is it that God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want Him to? I want you to answer that question to the best of your ability, and we'll look at some of the answers later on. Okay, why is it that God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want Him to? So go ahead and tweet that, email it, text it to the appropriate addresses, and we'll look at the answers later on. Praying some days is a huge battle, isn't it? This text in 1 Kings 18 is a real test. In fact, it's a true measure of the faith and the connection that Elijah had with God. Not just for his own benefit and his own advancement, but for that of the entire nation of Israel. Sometimes when we pray, it has great benefit for the people sitting around us. More benefit than perhaps we think or know. It isn't always about us, but the people we care so much about. Ahab is running wild, and Elijah comes face to face with him and basically calls Ahab out because he knew God was on his side. And this is what he says in 1 Kings 18:18-19. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel. And bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Elijah was faced with incredible odds. 950-1 were the odds that day. Elijah was the prophet of God that was constantly and consistently praying. It was his word that causes the rain to stop for the past 3.5 years. God not only heard Elijah's prayers, but God answered his prayers. God provided for him. God allowed Elijah to download, if you will, his provision without interruption, without blocks. There was no barriers. There were no firewalls. There were no bandwidth issues. There were no limits. There were no empty connections, and there were no fake connections. The Baal prophets and the Asherah prophets, they weren't real prophets of God. They were fake. And so they prepare, as the story, if you read the whole chapter, they prepare two burnt offerings, one each. The prophets of Baal and the Asherah prophets try everything under the sun to get their gods to burn their sacrifice. But nothing worked. It was an empty connection. It was a false hope. It was a dead-end relationship. So after many hours of praying and calling out to their gods, and if you read the text, it says they even cut themselves. They were so determined, and they became totally exhausted. After all of that, nothing happens, and then Elijah steps up and begins. They prepare his offering, and they pour four large jars, the Bible says, of water on it, three separate times. Everything is ready and everything is in place for an incredible miracle. So what does Elijah do? Our text tells us this in verse 36, which I read earlier. It says this: at the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. Without any of the theatrics of the false prophets, Elijah simply talked to God as one talks to another living person. His words were designed to demonstrate to the onlookers that all he had done as God's servant had been in obedience to God's command and not on the prophet's own initiative and will. Elijah simply asked God to show the people that he is the true God and turn the hearts of the people back to himself. His prayer that day was not about himself, but it was about a nation turning back to God. With his back to the wall, with a great number of prophets dead from the hand of Ahab. In fact, Ahab and Jezebel killed all of the God prophets, true God prophets, except Elijah. Elijah has nowhere else to turn except to God. Have you ever been there before? You have nowhere else to turn but God. Let me see your hand. In the middle of these wicked demonstrations, Elijah prays. It's kind of a pray anytime situation. Pray anytime. Would you say that with me? Pray anytime. Let's say it again. Pray anytime. Here is Elijah's motive and his heart for this demonstration. Verse 37, here's what he says: answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. That was the motive and the heart of his prayer. It wasn't about Elijah proving his God was better or bigger. It was about God having relationship with the nation of Israel again. Elijah did three things that day, three things that everyone in this room can do. Number one, he stepped out. He stepped out, stepped forward. Now, doing that will require a few things on our part if we're going to step forward. It will require some boldness. It will require some action on our part. It will require some kind of a physical move. And sometimes it takes a step of faith to see the hand of God move. Sometimes it takes a step outside of our comfort zones to see the hand of God move. Sometimes it takes that step of risk when all the odds are against us to see the hand of God move. Sometimes when the odds are not in our favor, that's when we step out and say, God, okay, I can't do this on my own. It's up to you. 950-1 were the odds that day. Second thing Elijah did was he prayed, of course. Would you say that with me? Elijah prayed. Say it. Elijah prayed. Elijah asked God for big things. Elijah believed God for big things. I kind of wish I had been there to see the look on their faces. 3.5 years drought. 12 jars of water they just poured on the sacrifice. There's no water in the land, and they're just pouring on a sacrifice. Even that in itself was against Elijah. Imagine if it backfired. He'd have been dead instantly. It'd have slaughtered him. But Elijah stepped forward and he asked God for big things. He believed God for big things. I want you to know something today, that Elijah had everything going against him from an earthly perspective. His friends, his colleagues were being killed. He was outnumbered. Ahab and Jezebel were having their way, but Elijah didn't give up. Regardless of how bad it is in your life, never quit calling on God, because you know why? He knows. He cares. He loves you enough to see you get through whatever it is you are facing this morning. He's the God of unlimited downloads. Never stop asking God for the big things in your life. The third principle in this text that Elijah fulfilled was Elijah prayed anytime. You see, our connection to God is not limited to where you are, who's around, and what the circumstances are.
The incredible thing about this relationship that we have with God is we don't have to speak words out loud for him to hear us. It can be anywhere, anytime relationship. Psalm 94:11, the Lord knows the thoughts of man. Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Matthew 9:4, Jesus said, knowing their thoughts. God knows our thoughts. And with that, we can pray anytime. And we'll have the confidence in knowing that God will hear our prayers. You ever been in a situation where you've had to pray but you couldn't use words? Pretty awesome, isn't it, that we can do that? Now, I know from personal experience, personally, that God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want them to be answered. Actually, I'm thankful for that. If God had answered the prayers that I've prayed over the years, I may not be standing here today. You know what I'm talking about? Romans 8:27 says this, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Here's what I think and believe this passage is telling us in Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit intercepts my weak and my uncertain prayers and reprays them according to the will of the Father, and the Father then answers my prayers as the Spirit has reprayed them. And I'm so thankful for that today. The Holy Spirit intercepts my weak and uncertain prayers and reprays them according to the will of the Father. The Father then answers my prayers as the Spirit has reprayed them. So, our prayers get answered, but not always the way we want them to be answered. Let's look at the answers to question number 2. Why is it that God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want him to? Let's look at the first answer. What we want and what God wants can be completely different, and because he knows what we need much better than we do. Isn't that Romans 8:27 right there? Okay, what we want. Can we read this together? This is actually quite, I'm not sure who said this. This is powerful. Let's read it together. What we want and what God wants can be completely different, and because he knows what we need much better than we do. Wow, that's pretty powerful. I'm not sure who sent it in, but that's awesome, actually. Okay, let's look at the next one. Because he is molding us, and his ways are greater than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. Most of us pray in present tense. Did you know that? Most of us pray here and now. We want results today. The Holy Spirit goes to the Father and reprays those prayers for the days, weeks, months, and years to come. Okay, and the third answer. God sees the entire picture, the past, present, and the future. We can only see our, I didn't even know this was coming up here. We can only see our immediate need and immediate circumstance, and we see only one small part of the picture. God knows exactly what we need, and sometimes it's not what we think we need. Those are great answers. So, don't get frustrated if God doesn't answer your prayer the way you think it should be answered. The reality is, most of the time, I believe God does answer our prayer. In fact, I think he does it all the time. Three answers. Do you know what they are? Yes? No? Not now. That's what I think the three answers are to our prayers. Now, sometimes there are hindrances to our prayers. We don't know why it took 22 years for God to stop the worship of false gods. We don't know why it took God 3.5 years to allow the rains to fall again. If you read on this text, the drought ends, rains come, and so on. I would have to think that Elijah had been praying all of those 22 years for the people of Israel to give their hearts back to God. I don't think it was just a flash moment in his life where he said, oh, I think we should stop praying to these gods. Elijah was praying. Elijah never lost his connection. He kept it all the time. Now, the key point today is this. Elijah believed God with more than words. His actions backed up his belief. Sometimes it requires us to step forward, to step out. Elijah stepped out, praise, and because of his strong connection and his boldness, the people of Israel have a change of heart, and they make this declaration. I love this. In verse 39, when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Would you shout this with me today? The Lord, He is God. Come on, let's shout it today. The Lord, He is God. Hallelujah. The Lord, He is God. Could you imagine all the people of Israel who were seeing what was going on? After God responds to Elijah's prayer, Elijah, the only prophet left in Israel, and all the people begin to shout, "The Lord, He is God." You see, sometimes it's not about what we see on the outside that is always the most important. It's what's happening on the inside that really matters most. And the people that day had a change of heart. But in North American culture, we have learned to judge people by what we see on the outside. Have we not? What's important, what's happening on the inside. The people had a change of heart that day. Now, perhaps you're here today and you're saying, "Well, that's fine for a guy like Elijah because he was a prophet and had a special relationship with God. My prayers and my bold steps will never produce those kind of results." Well, before you put major limitations on yourself, let's hear what the Bible tells us. In fact, the Bible tells us in James chapter 5 that Elijah was a man just like us. James 5, 17, 18 says this, "Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly." Now this is key. Earnestly simply means resulting from or showing sincere and intense conviction. Elijah prays earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced crop. This verse tells me that if we pray with sincere and intense conviction, we will see results from our prayers. In other words, there are no limits from God using a person who is sincere and has pure and proper motive. With a world full of limitations and wireless connections that offer only a certain amount of downloads and relationships and jobs that cannot offer spiritual connection, God can and will offer us unlimited downloads anywhere, anytime. We don't have to wait until Sunday morning to pray or when we're in trouble to pray. We can do that anytime because we choose to do so, and God instantly will connect with you and me and meet us exactly where we are. Now, I'm not saying today that results will always come the way it did for Elijah. I have some burdens on my heart these last little few weeks that I've been asking God for, as many of you do, I'm sure. But I'm not saying that results are always going to come the way it did for Elijah. And I'm not saying that we're going to see fire coming from the sky, but I am saying that results will always come according to the plan, the purpose, and the will that God has for our lives. Final question I want to ask you this morning is this. Are you staying connected to the source of your strength? Are you staying connected to the source of your strength? You see, really, there's no life if we break connection from God. There's no life, there's no growth, there's no going forward. Elijah stayed connected to God and allowed these unlimited downloads of power and boldness, belief, and supernatural miracles to lead the nation of Israel back to God.